crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
The churches of America has forgotten who's number one. And we're going to show you who he is this morning. All right, let's pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for a place to preach, people to preach to. Thank you for those watching by the webcam, and thank you for the use of that. We thank you, Lord, that people still come here after 60, this is our 16th year. And you've put us here, and you keep sending people, and some are lost, and some are found. And a lot of people come here who are lost who get found. And that's why we're here. And I understand that's why you sent us here. And I understand that's why you didn't send some other people here, because they couldn't handle this. I thank you that I can, because I'm a little hard-headed and I'm a little thick-skinned, and I don't particularly care what people think of me. I only care what you think of me. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for salvation, for where would I be without it? Where would these people be if they didn't have the only Savior of the world to rely on? Thank you that you let us have the revelation of your scriptures, that we could know what you would have us do, that we could know what kind of people you would have us be. And when I'm mad at anybody, we are sad that most of the world's headed for hell. And I know it breaks my heart, but not anywhere near how it breaks yours. Be with us this morning that we can learn something from the scriptures. And if there's anybody here who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, may this morning they make a complete change and accept you as Savior. In Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. So we find out that Jesus, according to John 14:6, if you have your Bible, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It didn't say, but by me in your denomination, but by me in your rituals, but by me in certain things you have to do and certain things you can't do. You will come to the Father when you put your faith in me. One way. Only one. There are people who think, and they will say on television, you will see them all the time, well, as long as you have religion. But no, cannibalism is a religion. Okay, people worshiping pineapple trees, that's their religion. Religion doesn't save you. Religion is perhaps the worst thing that was ever invented by mankind. Religion has sent more people to hell than anything else I can name. One thing will get you to heaven, and it's not religion. It is putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I just read it to you. It's not only a way, it's the only way. If there was another way, the Lord would have told us. Isn't it amazing that of all the religions in the world, and there are thousands, you probably can't name more than four or five. I can't name more than four or five. There are thousands of religions, and the people going through that really think by doing what they're doing or saying what they're saying or going through a certain ritual or living a certain way that that is going to buy them a ticket to heaven. How sad. How misled. I laugh because I hear the Shiites and the Sunnis with the Muslim religion. And I was thinking, driving on along the road, I said, you know, they're fighting each other. Muslims are killing Muslims. I mean, it's like the Baptists and Methodists shooting it out. Two divisions of them. I mean, they hate each other, and they kill each other, and they don't like each other, of course. And I said, you know what that's like? That's like two groups of people in cars out here on I-95 trying to go to Miami. One's in the left lane, one's in the right. And they just going quick as they can, go to Miami. Unfortunately, they're headed toward New York. And what it matters is that it doesn't matter what either one of them thinks. They're headed the wrong way. What does it matter? If you have the wrong religion, what you do or think? You'll hear on television, I've already heard, know it before I tell you. Well, all religions are the same. Excuse me? They probably are. They're the same in that they're wrong. Okay. There's one Savior. How many Saviors do you know of all the religions in the world? How many of them have a Savior? John 6 and 68 says, Simon Peter answered the Lord and said, to whom shall we go, Jesus? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Nobody else has them. He doesn't say, should we go with you and the Muslims, or should we go with you and the Jews, or should we go with you and the Zoroastrians, or should we go with you and the people worshiping monkeys in the jungle? Where am I going to go? Peter understood there wasn't anywhere else to go. Until you understand, most of you do, that there's one way to be saved, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, and no other way. Now, we get condemned for this. The world is secular, and they hate us because we claim we're the only way to heaven. And you know how I do. They say, why do you think that you're the only one who has the message? I said, the Bible said so. Well, why is it you think that born-again Christians are the only ones going to heaven? Because it's ours. The Bible said that the Lord Jesus Christ, all things were made by Him and for Him. Does that clear it up for you? Nobody else has a heaven. And they say, well, we're going to go to paradise. Well, it might be a saloon named paradise, but it's not where God lives. There's one heaven where God lives, and that's His home, and the Lord Jesus Christ built it. Well, I don't understand that. Oh, I understand that. You have trouble getting here every Sunday. He alone has the saving message, Peter said. Nobody else. Do you know how many people claim to be God on earth right now? I mean, there's about 65 in California claiming to be Jesus right now. When the people were running up and down the streets in the orange robes, that wasn't Clemson fans. That was Dr. whatever his name from the Orient came over here and announced he was the second coming of Christ. He got so many people to follow him and wear them crazy robes, going around begging money on the street to send to him. He built a 20-story skyscraper in New York City. Reverend Moon, I think you'll remember. He's not only gone to heaven, hadn't gone to heaven, he had him gone to the moon. Him and his followers, have they not repent and find out the real Savior, they'll all end up in hell. That's why they call us mean-spirited and hateful. I didn't say I hope they end up in hell. I said, according to this book, they're going to hell. The reason we have churches is not because we're hateful. It's because we love people and are going to try to keep them out of hell. Why in the world would you get mad at me? Well, I'm glad you pulled me out from that truck. I'd have been dead, but you certainly did pull hard. Really? You mad about that, are you? Because I body blocked you and broke your leg, but kept you getting hit by 18-wheeler, and you mad about it? Do you have any idea where you left your brain? Because it's gone. And that's what's the problem with. We've secularized America. We're no longer a Christian country. Not anymore. Mr. Obama was correct. He announced several years ago that America is no longer a Christian country. And everybody said, well, he shouldn't say that. But where were the churches when he said that? Where were they this week when he said abortion is okay? And if you send any papers to my desk that try to do anything about aborting people, then I will veto that bill. My friend, I'm sorry to tell you, you're going to hell with them. If you vote for people who are for abortion, please understand the Lord Jesus Christ counts you as one of them. But my party, you don't have a party. You have a bunch of idiots followed by blind sheep who will vote for anything that will get them a good job, save them money, or give them a break to do what they want to when they want to. I laughingly see in the summer down here, we see a lot of the young ladies come in here who evidently forgot their clothes, and they're running around in here naked. And I remember that if you went to somebody's house as a teenager and you had a date or just going over there and say, hey, whatever, that if the young lady came to the door in a hurry and she just had her bra and panties on, why, she panicked. Ah, I can't be seen like this. And would slam the door and run and get a robe or get something to put on. Son, that's how they show up on a date now. I mean, we've come a long way, haven't we, baby? Remember that cigarette ad for the Virginia Slim? We've come a long way, baby. Yeah, now you can get lung cancer quicker. Have we come a long way? And the problem is the church forgot who was number one. There's only one thing, one leader in the world that is, was, or ever shall be, that if you reject his leadership, you're going to hell. Now, you don't have to believe in Buddha. By the way, Buddha is not a religion. Buddhism is a philosophy. You don't have to believe in Muhammad. You don't have to believe in any of the other people of the major religions of the world. You don't have to believe in any of that, and it won't affect you a whole lot. However, John 8:24 said, I said, this is Jesus talking, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Your Bible will probably have I am he. And the he will be written in italics. And anything you see in a King James Bible of any variance, you will see in italics. That means it's been added to the original, just for clarification. When he said, you believe not that I am, Jesus is telling those Jews he's talking to, if you don't believe I'm the great I am, you'll die in your sins. Now, just for fun, I asked some of your Christian friends sometime in a casual conversation, by the way, you believe Jesus is God? And you're going to be shocked at how many say, well, no, I believe he was, you know, Superman. I believe he's a good prophet. I believe he was a good man. But no, I can't go that far. I can't say that I believe he was God. Guess where you going? Plain and simple, written out. How can you discern this any other way? I said, therefore, unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am, meaning that I am the great I am, ye shall die in your sins. How plain can that be? I watch Bill O'Reilly a lot. Bill's an entertaining journalist and an intelligent man and has a good program and good guests on and all. But he claims to be a Roman Catholic. He's not a good one. Because I've seen him sit there and say, well, yes, I'm for what Jesus said, and I consider myself a Catholic. They never say Christian. I consider myself a good Catholic. But no, I don't believe Christ is God. And I'm saying, you can believe what else you want to, but till you get that straight, son, they got a space for you. Intelligent, yeah. Well-read, yeah. Writes good world number one bestsellers, amen. However, hadn't read this book. This isn't the only place that this is stated in Scripture. And if you don't understand that Jesus is God, you better listen more careful and get out your Bible more often and get your head straight with the words, because that's what the Word of God teaches. But you see, the churches of America, in order to pay for the big building and get the big crowds, have to give a pleasing message. And if you tell people they're going to hell, they don't know what hell is in the first place because they hadn't heard the word in 20 years. Well, you're going to make somebody mad telling them if they don't believe Jesus is God, they're going to hell. You think they're mad now? Wait till they get to hell. You see, we can't look at things. I can't look at the Scripture like you read the daily news. I'm not concerned whether somebody doesn't like it or likes it and they're going to stop their subscription if we write things in our newspaper they don't like. Newspapers worry about that. God's already written what He wants. And it's what He wants and what He will have, and you and I aren't going to do a thing about it except choose to believe it or not believe it. Well, I just don't think. I knew you didn't think when you made the statement. When it says all things were made by Him and for Him, why do you even bother to study evolution? It told you how it came about. All things were made by Him and for Him. You don't have to discuss it any further. And by the way, when you do discuss that, how did a beetle not become an elephant? How did they know to become another beetle? How come you put the animals of the world just out in the jungle? The monkeys live with the monkeys. The zebras live with the zebras. The gorillas jump over there by themselves. The birds fly and flock together. How is it that you want to think they all came from different stems? And then they have the nerve to show me a crocodile and say this is the only one that didn't change. Oh, he must be smart. We need a crocodile university. How silly it is, how foolish it is, the things man say versus what God said. And where we have to get back to who is number one is finding out what book's number one. They argue, the Sunnis and the Shiites, what the Quran really says and doesn't say. Guess what? It doesn't matter. It didn't come from God. There's the terrible errors in it, many changes in it. Everybody in the world knows it who can read. Yet to keep the peace, we certainly don't want to make somebody mad. Why not? They're coming to kill you. I saw some lady interviewed from the far left last night. And Judge Jeanine, what's her name, Judge? Boy, I love her. I'm telling you the truth. I am telling you the truth. If you can fall in love with somebody over TV, that's her. I mean, because that rascal will get in your face. And if you don't tell the truth, she will snap you up in a minute. And she was facing some liberal broad last night. And the liberals started talking. And I'm saying, what world does she live in? It certainly isn't this one. She wanted to say the reason that the terrorists are attacking everybody is we made them do it. We killed a lot of their people, so they got mad. Now they want to kill us for doing it. What kind of moron are you? I'm sorry, Ann, you told me to quit telling people they were morons. What kind of semi-intelligent being be you? When we know what Islam is, it isn't a new religion. Their goals aren't newly founded. They tried this way back, thousands of years ago. They got as far as Paris, France. If you notice, they got there again last week. Right. But Charles Martel, they called him the Hammer, he didn't put up with a whole lot. And he drove them back to where they should be. Do you think they said, we won't try it again? They said, no, we'll just wait. Wait till we get enough people. Wait till we get enough, and we're back at it. Their stated goal is to take over the world and to kill anybody who doesn't believe their religion. That is their mission statement. Don't you love to go to a hamburger place and they have a mission statement? Who cares? Give me a hamburger. And they had some vice presidents sit around, and our mission is to, come on, fry the burger. Right. They've stated their goal. They've stated what they want to do and what they've tried to do and what they've always set out to do. Now they are doing, and we wonder, you reckon they will tell the truth? Is that really what they want to do? There's no doubt about it. That's why we called Orkin or Lanes. Why? Saw the roaches. Didn't want roaches. Found out where they lived. Called Mr. Roach and said, get them. Because if I leave them, they're going to take over my house. It's either me or them. When it comes down to that, it's you. That's the way it should be now. Well, see, y'all want to kill everybody. Judge Jeanine last night loved her. She, that liberal dog told her, well, y'all just want to kill everybody. She said, no, that's a lie. We just want to kill the people who want to kill us. What's wrong with that? You better kill them or they'll kill you. That's the game, isn't it? We're sorry it had to go that way. If you want some land to be prosperous in and you want some property to rule over, take a look at the Sahara Desert. You've already got that and you hadn't done anything with it for several thousand years. Why don't you build that and leave us alone? Well, we hate that. And they show them death to Jerusalem, death to America. Yeah, fool of Israel, see what you get. Can you not read it all? Read the Old Testament up to the New and find out what God has set for people who turned against Israel. He said, yeah, they've turned against me a dozen times. Read the Old Testament. They straighten up, then here they go. I pull them out of the mess, they straighten up, and here they go. Over and over and over and over. But he said, you're not going to kill them because they're my chosen people. I've made my choice. When you fight them, you fight me. And I want to wish you the best of luck on that. Have you noticed that what's happening, and I have to explain this to certain people who aren't biblically savvy, and I said, let me show you something. You're not a Christian, so you don't keep up with it. I can stand here all day and show you where God started in Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jesus. And he's gone from there around the world with the gospel. And he's come right back to where it started. You didn't know that, did you? And my lawyer friend makes $1 million a year. He's a good lawyer. He's a poor theologian. He said, I had no idea. He said, you're pretty good, aren't you? I said, I'm very good. I'm very good. I understand the program. Let me tell you what's going to happen. There are 1.6 billion Muslims, okay? 90% can't read. They're going to do exactly what their leaders tell them to do. Whatever it is, they're going to do it. Okay. They are going to progress down on Jerusalem. It's in the book. They are going to come against the Jerusalem. This time, they're not just coming on horses with swords. The swords this time are going to be nuclear weapons. And we're so stupid, we won't bomb Iran. we let them make them. Okay. They're coming for Jerusalem. The maps in that part of the country now don't even have Israel on the map. Mentally, they've already wiped it out. They're coming with the goal to drive the Jews into the sea. Let me help you with a history lesson. Did you ever hear a guy named Hitler? He had better weapons, more weapons, better trained militia than we had. And he was set to destroy Israel. Seems to me Israel's still there. Not only there, they've prospered. Protected by God. These folks will come down on Israel. Mark it. It's going to look like Israel doesn't stand a prayer. I mean, it was one thing in the Six-Day War. It's another when all the countries around you are coming with nuclear weapons. That's the new ball game. All right. There's no hope for Israel statistically. I heard one of the retired generals on TV the other day, he used the word, said, he said, we're just trying to avoid the inevitable. Inevitable means it's going to happen. Nothing can stop it. My dad wrote a book in 1945 called Our Inevitable War with Russia. Oh, they got mad. Greenway's gone crazy. Yada-da-da-dee-dee-dee. The book was on Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's there for you to read this afternoon. Read it. And it names the countries who are going to come down on Israel. Gives you the names. Now we know where they are, who they are, what they're doing, and it has developed exactly like the Bible said it would. They're coming. And they're coming down on Israel, and you say, poor Israel, what they're going to do? They're going to be driven into the sea. No, they aren't, not according to the Lord God Almighty. Well, who can stand against that band? Number one can. The Lord Jesus Christ can, and it says he will come. And he will stand in Jerusalem and wipe that entire group out by his appearing. Not by bringing angels to fight, not by bringing bombs, not by some supernatural thing. By his presence alone, they'll all die. You say, well, that sounds crazy. We'll talk to God about it. He wrote the book. Do you really think that's what it means? I mean, how plain can it be? We know who's coming, when they're coming, how they're coming, and how they're going to end, and people won't believe it. See, if America had turned back to God instead of trying to placate the world, you wouldn't believe the prosperity we'd see. But we don't want to make anybody mad, hurt anybody's feelings, or upset some tribe in the middle of a desert where nobody goes. Why don't we take care of America first? Having trouble in Yemen. Can you imagine having trouble in Yemen? Have you seen Yemen on the map? You know how many nuclear weapons it would take to totally destroy Yemen, the country? One. Okay. Well, that'll kill innocent people, then give them a warning and then drop it. If a man tells you, I don't have to be too bright coming down this street. I've come down this street to preach here 1,000 times. And I don't have to be too bright to see a big orange sign that says detour and a big arrow that says go up that way to change my method. You don't have to be smart to do that. You just have to be able to read. Yeah, if I decide not to and violate the sign and come down here and get stuck in a mud hole and cost myself $1,000 before it's over, fixing my car and getting towed out of there and all that, that's my fault. I remember I used to live at Jekyll Island, Georgia. Boy, it's a beautiful place. The biggest decision of my life there was to play tennis or golf. I mean, it was something. It was something. And so you'd be there, and there's a river goes right by Jekyll Island out to the ocean. And a big bridge, much bigger than the bridges around here, was a big bridge. And a tugboat captain got drunk and ran into the bridge, and it was stuck open. Here comes the traffic from Jacksonville and all that and down, and then from Miami and all up, meets at Jekyll Island. Got to get across that river. And everybody's driving fast as they can. I don't know where it is they're going, but here they go. All of a sudden, nobody has told anybody the gate's open. Six cars, because these back here are pushing one in front of them. First car is a young lady who had just been married the day before on her honeymoon. And her husband got out to warn the rest of them, stop, the bridge is out, stop. And, of course, some of them wanted to run over him. They in a hurry to die. And they kept pushing cars till the word got out, don't do that anymore. All he wanted to do was warn people. Do you know people were cussing him for getting out of his car? Back in your car, you're holding up traffic. Son, he was just trying to help you. He just lost his new wife. I'm sure he wanted to jump in after her, but there was nothing he could do. So he decided he'd try to save somebody else. They all got mad at him. Till they found out what had happened, then they tried to find him and thank him. That's what America does to preachers. Will you scare us? You ought to be scared. Well, I don't like you a little adamant. I'm a lot adamant. Why? Well, I guess it's because I care whether you go to hell or not. I don't have to do this. I'm not going. I'm home free. I got a ticket to ride. I can go back to Jekyll Island. Well, why would you come here? I have no idea. Ask God. Anybody build a church here is out of their mind. Well, we're not going down that raggedy place. Furniture bother you, does it? Well, they sell beer down there. You were half drunk last night. What do you care? Well, I know some people down there that are hypocrites. Find me a church without them. Well, all you want to do is preach the Bible. What else is worth preaching? We all keep wondering, is somebody saved? I don't even know what that means. I understand, because you lost. Well, every time I go, y'all want to get people to be saved. And I said, that's right. That's why we're there. That's all the reason we're there. I had somebody in this town, good friend, used to come to church here. Went to another church. Goes out there now. Asked me, he said, Beaver, why would a preacher give a sermon and not give an invitation? I said, I have no idea. Who does that? He said, well, where I go now, he preaches a pretty good sermon, but they never give an invitation. I said, well, tell him to quit preaching and start just giving him invitations. Because if your purpose as a preacher and a gospel man, preaching in an evangelical situation where your goal is to reach people for Christ, and you're not giving an invitation every Sunday, then you quit going. So you're not accomplishing things except telling some stories to people that want to hear them and say, well, I just feel so good when I leave there. Well, you better tell that man to get out his Bible, because if you can feel good in this generation, in this country, you evidently don't know what's going on. How sad. We're the last group, friends. We're the last group. No man knows the day or the hour, but I promise you we're the last group. Stay up a little late tonight. I will. I'll go home, take that half this afternoon so I can stay up tonight. 10:30, I'll have Jack Van Impe on. Jack Van Impe knows, he has memorized that Bible. Knows more about the second coming of Christ than any man ever lived. Listen to him. Hear what he has to say. My dad introduced the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ to the South. Nobody preached it. All the Baptists were amillennialists. They didn't believe Jesus was coming back. And if you go to another church, I'd try a Baptist one first, one that preaches the gospel. And if they don't give an invitation the day you go, then don't go back. Well, you kind of, I know, I'm sorry. May I apologize to you now if your little feelings got hurt. Okay. You think my feelings don't get hurt? I preached for 100 years and studied constantly and pray and cry and try to keep people out of hell, and more quit coming. Used to be we'd fill this place up. I said, you keep running people off. All I did was preach the gospel. Well, where'd you learn to do that? I learned it from a friend of mine named Jesus Christ. He looked at Peter and said, you leaving too? He looked at the disciples and said, you leaving too? Please stay, oh, please stay, oh, please change your mind. He said, no, you leaving too? Where are you going? And Peter said, where can we go? It's right here. Peter said, where are we going to go? You're the one. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where are you going to go? What is it you're looking for? Well, I'm tired of hearing it. Fine, start preaching it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody in here told one person about Jesus this week and did that every week and tried to bring some of them to church every week? Please come. Please just listen. Make sure they're qualified. What do you mean? Make sure they're lost. You got good friends going to hell that are going to hell right now, and you know it. Why don't you be the kid at the bridge and start yelling? Bridge is out. The bridge is out. It's over. If you keep going that way, you're going to drown. He might get mad at first, but boy, when they see that bridge out, won't they love you? Won't they love you? I said, the happiest thing about heaven, I mean, there's nothing there that's sad. Happiest thing about heaven, of course, is meeting the Savior and being able to say thank you. I don't know what else to say except thank you. Thank you. You mean you died for me? Yeah. No kidding. I mean, did you die for me? Yeah. Well, how did you know I was going to come along in the 21st century? I know everything, son. I died for you. Get over it. What you going to say when you face somebody like that? Have you ever thought about it? But one of the greatest joys you'll ever have in heaven, of course, you see your mom and dad again if they were saved. See your brother again if he was saved. Those of you who, unfortunately, and we don't jump on you, you made a mistake, God forgave it, and that's good. You had an abortion. Let me give you some good news. You'll see your baby again.
But the most wonderful thing I'll see is when I see somebody that came by an old dirty pavilion at the foot of hell and said, you know, somebody told me to come down there. I really didn't want to, but did. And I didn't like you a lot, but I listened. Good. And one day, the Lord got hold of me and said, he's talking about you. And I accepted him as Savior. And I just want to tell you, like Spanky, remember Spanky? Everybody here knows Spanky? Spanky was a used car salesman. That, of course, qualifies you for hell automatically. And we got hold of Spanky and talked to him and made friends with him. And finally he got saved and he had cancer. And he sent for me and Ann and said, would you come up to above Winston-Salem there? Would you? Spanky's dying, Beaver, and he's asking for you. We'll be there. And so we went and saw him. He looked like an Egyptian, looked like a mummy. He was brown instead of white. And his face, it turned to leather. And he was laying there, all but dead. But he wanted to see us one more time. Went in the house and saw him. And we knew, other than a miracle from the Lord, it was over. And his wife knew. We all knew. But he told me, come in. And I leaned in and listened. He said, because of you, I get to go to heaven. You can have your fame and your fortune. You can be number one on the list of the best preachers in the world. You have all that. But you can't buy that because of you. I'm going to heaven. Amen. Amen. So we have the only Savior. No other religion has a Savior. We only have the Word of God. Others of them have what they call holy books, but they're not. They're books with holes in them. There's rituals that we go through, but rituals don't get you to heaven. The blood of Christ does. We have the only way between earth and heaven. We have the key. When I give out the little crosses that we give out, and I'm sure you give a few out, I love to give them out, and you got to say something, unless you just throw them at somebody. And I'll say, let me give you a key to heaven. And they'll look at it, and I know what they're thinking. That's not the key to heaven, that's a cross. And I said, yes, ma'am, I know what you're thinking. But you can't open the door to heaven without that. You'll go through their cross to get in heaven, because there's no other way. No other religious leader died for your sins. Only one. None had the power to, just because he was an intelligent man and even could show some miracles. The devil does that. Only one blood could wash away your sins. Only one. And here this morning, I always said we're going to celebrate number one. The Apostle Paul, the greatest preacher that ever lived, other than Christ, said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I study way beyond my level. And I read after some brilliant people. And they glibly use words that I don't even know what they mean. But none of their messages and none of their intellect and none of their blood can wash me from my sins. Only one. Only one. He didn't go into long dissertations of theology, and he didn't go into arguments, and he didn't go into, well, in the original languages, he didn't go into any of that. He said, believe on me. Pistuo. Believe on me. Commit yourself to me. How could one man ever have the guts to say that? That anybody who had done any sin at any time, if they will but turn and believe on me, I'll take care of it all. Only one. So the question we ask is, do you know him this morning? Don't care how much the Bible you've read or how many theological degrees you have or don't have or what your intellect level is. It is really strange that this is the most complex book written in the simplest terms you could ever read. I mean, you start getting into the deep theology, you're getting into it, boy. But it all comes down to, do you know him? Or do you just know about him? Do you know him? Well, I don't know what you mean. I mean, has there been a time in your life when you said, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that if I don't find a way of salvation, that there's no hope for me, and I really believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. And this morning or this evening or while I'm driving the car or wherever I am, this morning I don't want to just know of him. I want to know him. I want him to know me. If you've never done that, where you sit this morning, you do that. It's the most important decision any man will make at any time during his life. Where you just bow your head and, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. It's no use to get out the list. We both know. It's too long to read here. But I'm sorry. I want to repent. Repent means metanoia. Metanoia means to turn and walk in a new direction. It's not just saying, I believe. It's doing something about it. And if you will believe on Christ, he will change your thinking, change your life, change your way of life. You become a new creature in Christ. Isn't that good to know? It's not important whether you become a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian. It's a matter of, do you want to have your sins forgiven, and are you willing to commit yourself to the only one who can do that? Now, I can't make it any more clear than this morning. And if you're sitting here and haven't been saved, you don't have to come up here. I know Brother Graham tries to get everybody to come to the front, and that's good. He's done a good job of it. However, God knows where you sit right now. He knows all about you right now. He knows where you are right now. He knows where you were last night and every night since you've been born. He knows all about you. And boy, am I glad he's the only one that does. How about you? But if you don't know him, meet him this morning. Just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I don't know much about it, but I believe it's you. And this morning, I want to commit my life to you. I'll learn the rest of it as we go. Because I did learn this much by accepting you. I get to live forever, and surely in the forever, I can learn the rest of it. But this morning, I just want to make sure I'm one of yours. If you've never done that, you do that.
It'll be the happiest day of your life. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for a place to preach and good, loving people who come every summer, come every Sunday, and they listen and learn a little and a little more and a little more, and I wouldn't offend anybody on your behalf. I wouldn't do that purposely. Not here to express my intellect and Bible knowledge, because there's far greater men from me on TV and all around who preach the gospel that I'd be ashamed to follow. But I do know you love me. And I do know you died for me. And I'm so thankful. I think of it every day. And I believe I remind you, not that you need reminding, but I thank you every day that you did that. And if there be one here this morning who isn't saved, have never turned their life over to you, have never repented of their sins, would you touch them and let the Spirit of God pull on their heart just a little bit more this morning? Is anybody watching by webcam? Maybe they don't darken the doors of a church and this is the only church they have. I don't know. But if there's anybody watching who has never accepted you as Savior, would you please encourage them to do that today? Thank you for stopping by my heart. Thank you that I know my family has all made a commitment to you. Thank you that I have many friends here that I didn't know years back, but we've become brothers and sisters in Christ, and to me, they're the most wonderful people in the world. And I thank you for the many, many blessings you have sent my way. We thank you that Elizabeth is here this morning, 91 years of age, very difficult to get out of bed, very hard to get dressed to go to church, yet because she loves you, she finds time, and she finds a way. We thank you for pulling Troy through his operation. I can hardly wait to see the smile on his face when he comes back to church. The last time I saw him, he told me, "I can't wait to get back to church." What a wonderful man of God. And his beautiful wife, Ruby. We've prayed that you would give her no anxiety and lift the stress of this from her. And now that she knows he's up and around and laughing and smiling again, I know that that's been lifted. How good you've been to all of us here. Let us return the favor by telling people about you. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his holy sake, amen.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a now I live and How could I boast of anything I've ever seen or done? How could I dare to claim as mine the victories God has won? Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner.